Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. I know that we got snowed out last Sunday, but it was great to see many of you online. I don't know if you could tell how stressed I was with that, because my son James walked across the screen in his PJs, and then my son Jonathan, about 5 minutes later, walked across in the background, so I couldn't concentrate for about 10 minutes, but we got through that, and thank you for joining us for that. Today, we have a special guest I wanted to invite to share briefly about a ministry that has been making a difference for over 50 years. Called MAC, and many of you know Beth Stafford, who's been leading that, and she recently retired, and the new executive director, Shannon Baldessario, is here with us. So I wanted to invite her just to the front so you can put a name to a face and really welcome her as she takes over the reins of this incredible ministry that serves the needs of those who are hurting and struggling in the Manchester community. Shannon, will you come up and join us? Can we give her a big hand?
Spread out. I have one in college, one in high school. support services. We are serving over 200 families at this given time, and that number does fluctuate with the need, of course, as well as the time of the month. That support tends to lessen as the month goes on. We also have a community outreach and emergency service department. I have a manager who oversees any crisis utility, rental, or mortgage payment that is lacking to be paid on time. From there, we also work with our outreach homeless team. So we go out into the community, we are trucking it through the woods, and we are Monday through Saturday looking for folks that are living in places not meant for habitation or that are sleeping in their vehicles, because unfortunately, when you think of the homeless, you're thinking of someone sleeping outside. But unfortunately, as society has morphed and changed, the new poor, the new homeless, could be your neighbor. It could be somebody sleeping in a vehicle, somebody staying in a hotel. There is no one face that says you are impoverished or homeless. So we go out into the community, we build those relationships, and we really work with our folks to try to break those barriers and get them back into sustainable housing to live on their own and flourish. From there, I just wanted to acknowledge that as we begin our 51st year this next Friday, that wouldn't have been possible without Trinity. Trinity is a founding member of MAC Charities. It was one of the original 14 founding members. And what I say is that as we embrace this year's anniversary, my staff of six and I, as well as the over 120 volunteers on any given week, are going to reflect over how this year, how none of this could have been accomplished, without the support and relationship that were formed over all the years that we have been in home. We love our partnerships, and we cannot thank you all for your love, your compassion, and dedication, not only for what you do within your own Trinity family, but within the community that you support as a whole, and we are a part of that community. So thank you for your partnership, and I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more of your faces around. As I look around the room, I do see a lot of familiar faces, so I'm happy to be here, and again, thank you for welcoming me in, and I look forward to talking with you all again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Shannon. And we'll be in prayer and support of MAC. And I know a number of our members do volunteer there, and we do a lot of joint outreaches and ministry through our Hope for 10. And so it is a very important ministry here as we try to develop a more robust vision for what does it mean to be a church that really does care about the city in which we live. With all that being said, let me just pray for us briefly. We'll jump into a message that I've prepared on this Vision Sunday. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity in the beginning of the year to meet together, to be able to be together as a church family and friends. And we're very grateful, Lord. Without the local church, in so many ways, we would struggle. What an opportunity to visibly and physically sense and experience and feel the love and power and life of Jesus Christ in and through one another, because we are the body of Christ. So we thank you. Thank you for Shannon visiting us today. We pray that as she has taken over the reins of this wonderful organization and ministry that does wonderful things for the needy and the struggling and the broken here in the Manchester community, that you would empower her and bless her and her entire team as they feed the hungry, as they take care of the homeless, as they meet needs. We pray, Father, that you would use them as your hands and as your feet. So bless us today at the beginning of the year here, Lord. We give you thanks, and we invite your presence. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today is what I've labeled Vision Sunday. It's an opportunity to take a step back and get a bigger picture of who we are and where we're going. And at least once or twice a year, we like to do this because there's a lot of you who have recently joined us and may not have had an opportunity to walk through our vision. And so we're going to do that this morning together. And we're going to open up with Jeremiah 29. verses 10 through 14. And you could look in where you're sitting at in your own Bibles, or look up at the screen as well, and we'll provide that text for you from God's Word. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back from this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is God's word, and a powerful promise to a people that look around them at the circumstances and situations that they find themselves in, exiled away from all that was familiar in Israel, as exiles in a foreign land under King Nebuchadnezzar, in a Babylonian culture that they don't know anything about, taken away, wondering, God, where are you? When things go wrong in our lives, don't we ask the same? In the midst of the circumstances that they're in, which is completely their fault because they continue to go their own way and not follow God in their lives, they broke the covenant over and over and over again, and God gave them chance after chance after chance to repent, not just feel bad about it, but go a different direction, go towards him. They refused to do so, and here was the consequences of their actions, of their behavior, of their choices. And yet in the midst of it, God promises that after one generation, 70 years, you will be brought back home. You will find me. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And in your blessing, the way you will receive it is you must be a blessing to your enemies, the Babylonians. For if they prosper, you too will prosper. It's a powerful challenge to God's people to bless and pray for the prosperity of Babylon, even though they were the enemies and brought devastation upon them. And I love verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I think it's not just for the Jewish exiles in a foreign land in Babylon, but it is a charge and challenge for every generation of God's people, including our own. Today is Vision Sunday. And with that, we just a year and a half ago celebrated our 130th anniversary. It was a great opportunity to journey back to our roots, to finally, for myself, visit our original church building on Spruce Street, just a few minutes from here, to step inside and imagine these Swedish immigrants who couldn't speak English, worshiping just a few dozen of them, gathered, and to experience that this building's still there, and to meet Pastor Charlton Daly, who is now leading his own congregation in that building, and to be with some of our members, and of course, dear Evelyn Ask, who has now gone to be with the Lord. But what an opportunity to worship with some of our older members who actually worshiped in that original building. Trinity has a beautiful past. I count myself very fortunate to be among other pastors that have come before me, including Not Pictured Hill, Phil Hackinson, and of course Norm Swenson, and so many others, Pastor Rask. And I think finally, after these past couple of years, I have a good grasp of the history and my predecessors, and I count myself very blessed and fortunate to be given the responsibility and reins for my tenure here in light and in the shadow of some spiritual giants whom I love and respect, and I hopefully we accomplish honoring them and their role over the years, and many of you know them and love them. We all are in pursuit of something in our lives. All of us immediately after service will say hello to a few people and probably dash out of here onto our lives as we're busily working, raising children, helping with our grandchildren, involved in many ministries. There's so much going on. We're all running after something. We're all pursuing something in our lives. And at the start of the year, as we're off to the races, I think the big question is, what are we as a church pursuing? Where are we going? I think it's very important for all pastors who are leading congregations at the start of the year to give a roadmap and point to the direction where we're going. Because if we don't know as the leader of the church, we certainly can't expect many of our followers, our members, and friends to know the way if the leader is not really sure. One pastor put it, vision is a picture of the future that produces passion. When was the last time you were captured by a vision that produced such a passion in you as you thought about if this vision were come to fruition in the future, how awesome would this be? I could give my life for something like that. And I would like to propose that as God's children who belong to the kingdom of God and followers of the Jesus of Nazareth, I believe that God has given us a vision that is worth pursuing. And so for many of us here, you've been here, you know the vision that I received at Chick-fil-A to pursue God and to pursue people. And this flows from a statement that says that we are to pursue God and His passion for people. And so over the past couple of years, we've been trying to work this out. What does it mean to pursue God? In our passage we just read, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. That is the simple thing that God expects us in our lives, to pursue Him, to love Him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's simple and yet so challenging. And so we've come up with our vision that can be framed in this way, that Trinity Covenant Church, can we read this together, will be a church for our city that pursues God and His passion for people through a gospel movement starting in Manchester, our communities, and then the world. Wow, that sounds so great. And throughout these past couple of years of challenge through the pandemic, multiple leadership transitions, staff changes, we're like starting, stopping, change. It's been crazy these past couple of years. But in the midst of that, we have taken the vision and we have distilled it in a very practical challenge that we must pursue new people, new generations, both old and young, in a new spirit. We can't just keep on doing the same things we've been doing to expect different results. And we have constantly asked ourselves, what are we going to look like in the next 10 years or the next 15 to 20 years? We are building the foundation. We are laying the path, the groundwork for our children and their children in the years to come. And as we think about the decisions, the vision, how we are serving, it's not just a myopic exercise, just right here, but next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, where will Trinity Covenant Church be? What will it look like? And so with our key leaders, we've come up with a very helpful illustration to capture some of this in a visual aid, which I really, really have enjoyed working with our key leaders. Here we have Jesus in the center. And the three legs, the three spheres are worship, mission, and what Brian talked about today, renewal. What exactly is worship? Worship is this. Next slide. Pursuing God because of his pursuit of us. We pursue God through the ministry of worship to celebrate, to glorify, and to acknowledge his gracious pursuit of us. If we really think about it, when God calls us to love him, it's not because we have such goodness in our hearts. He's calling us, okay, love me. No, it's because he first pursued us. It's because he reached out when we were lost, when we were broken, when we didn't want anything to do with God. He reached out to you and me. God's first words to a rebellious man and woman is what? Where are you? As he appeared in the garden in Eden, looking for them. Worship is central to who we are and what we are called to do. Psalm 95, 6 through 7. Let's back it up with scripture. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. It's not something that he forces upon us as a burden. Oh, I got to go to church. Oh, I got to pray. Oh, I got to look at the world. No. What an invitation and opportunity and privilege to meet the one who loves us like no other. And so we pursue God in worship corporately. Yes, privately. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Secondly, we also are called to pursue people in mission because of his passion for people. So worship first, now mission. We pursue people both locally, and thank you, Shannon, for reminding us of the many opportunities that we have here in Manchester, as well as globally to the ends of the earth with the goal of disciple-making for God's kingdom purposes. So we pursue God in worship because he first pursued us. We pursue people in mission because of God's passion for people, not just our love, but it is his love that compels us forward to serve, to reach, to love, to serve, to pray, to help. And thirdly, before we share the third thing, Luke 15, 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? So many of us fall into this picture of God as this distant old man that really doesn't care much about us and can't wait to zap us with his lightning bolts from his heavenly throne when we don't obey. Thou shalt not lie, all these things, yes? But here we have the heart of God in the person of Jesus, who would go and leave 99 sheep to chase after the one that is lost. And over, we have reminded ourselves the past couple of years in this great quote from Unstuck Church, any organization, including a church that doesn't focus on reaching new people, has already started to decline and will eventually die. So we're reminded of that we are to pursue people that are lost, that don't know him, that are broken in their lives, just like you and I. God calls us to pursue them. Jack Meador reminds us, especially after the pandemic, that 40 million Americans have stopped attending church in the past 25 years. That's something like 12% of the population, and it represents the largest concentrated change in church attendance in American history. The fastest growing religious group are the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that don't identify with any organized religion. The fastest growing group in America. And so, Pastor, yes, we are to evangelize, hit the streets, yes, knock on doors, whatever it takes, But what about many who were once church? Pursuing people is pursuing the lost and pursuing God's children who keep on getting lost, just like you and me. James 5 reminds us of this, 19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, he's talking about believers, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And so as we talk out of our vision, we pursue God. I get that part. We pursue people, yes, in evangelism, those that don't know Christ yet. But pursuing others also means those who are God's sheep that keep getting lost. And with so many that have dropped out of church over the years, we are to pursue them as well, as James reminds us. Thirdly, in our illustration, is renewal. Worship, mission, and renewal. Renewal is this: pursuing God and people through his life-changing power. We pursue God and his passion for people through the renewing power of the gospel that renews us and our world daily. In this familiar passage in Acts 1:8, we know that as we engage in God's mission, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. As we step out in faith, as we allow God to lead us and our church to shine the love and light of Christ in those dark places, we will experience his renewal and his power as we are engaged in his work. But at the same time, we're reminded that spiritual renewal occurs when Christ is working in our life to transform us, to make us more like him. 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. We experience this renewal as we pursue God, as we pursue people. He fills us with his power, the power of God's Spirit, to be filled with confidence and humility and love and reach out to others around us. And at the same time, the gospel is at work, renewing our own hearts, transforming us, bringing us daily into repentance, turning away from our darkness and sin, which all of us battle with day by day, and to transform us a little bit each day to be more like Jesus. And so we're renewed, we're empowered. That gives us the strength to pursue God and pursue others. And as we engage in that pursuit of God and others, we are also filled in the midst of that. The more we are engaged in God's pursuit of him and people, we will be renewed in our hearts. I don't believe that we will just burn out, but when we really understand the heart of the gospel, we will be renewed daily. As Brian shared, I can't tell you what a blessing it has been in these early days to have that accountability with you all, to read through the scripture. I fell behind a little bit the past couple of days. James was saying, Daddy, what about the family devotion? And I'm like, oh boy. And we caught up last night, and we're still hanging in there. For any of us who aren't sure what this is or have never read through the Bible cover to cover from Genesis to Revelation, we extend an opportunity. Brian will probably say, it's not too late. Join us. Download the YouVersion Bible app. Send Brian an email. I want to join. You'll get invited in. And every day, if it's hard to read, you could just hit the play button and listen to this phenomenal voice reading the Word of God and hear as they did in the ancient times. Not everyone had a personal copy of the scriptures. They would go to worship and hear the Word of God spoken. And I can't tell you what this is doing to my family and my own heart as you're daily encountering the Word of God, experiencing renewal, being filled with power, and excited to go and serve this broken world. Amen? And so, worship, pursuing God, mission, pursuing people, both those that don't yet know Christ, and pursuing lost sheep, just like we get easily lost. In the midst of that, doing it by his passion and his power when we step out in faith and when we experience a daily renewal in our own hearts through repentance, through faith, through His grace. This begins to theologically and biblically flesh out what do we mean when we pursue God and His passion for people. Looking at a recent article by Carrie Newhoff, who I'm a big fan of, he said that one of the trends we see post-pandemic is that the stable church is now an endangered species. I'm like, what is he talking about? Well, let me help define it. What he means by stable is not stable as in solid, but stable as in plateaued, ingrown, maintaining status quo. It's fascinating. In recent surveys they've done, he says that there is an almost 90% chance your church is either growing or declining. Only 12% of respondents reported, according to Newhoff, that their church was quote-unquote stable, neither attracting new people nor shrinking. In other words, those that are gaining momentum quickly, while churches that are losing people are losing people very quickly. 54% of churches are in moderate or significant decline today. That means for over half American churches, the writing is on the wall. Yet at the same time, the good news is that 33% of churches report some or significant growth. That is deeply encouraging. In other words, you cannot do church as business as usual anymore. We are either growing or declining. And he says this to sum up his article, which I highly commend to you. He says this in the next slide. Being part of a stable church gave people the false security that they had time to make any changes they wanted. That's now all but gone. We cannot play it safe anymore. We can't just look at our world and ignore the tremendous needs and at the same time tremendous opportunities that God has brought to our doorstep. I know that Pastor Theo's family traveled a long way here from California to come to New England. 2 weeks ago, as you know, there was some very unusual weather patterns. This picture was taken at Mavericks Beach near Half Moon Bay. Some of us have visited there. Some of the waves were reported on December 28th to have been at least 60 feet tall. Amazing. And if you were at this beach on that day with these waves, this is the actual picture, you could be in the safety of your car in the parking lot, observe, wow, that's powerful. You could see the picture like we are 2 weeks later saying, wow, that's crazy. But who is the one that has experienced that power and the energy and the thrill of the ride? It is that guy, that crazy dude up there with two hands up. Woohoo! Riding that wave. Pastor Rick Warren reminds us, as we think about the gospel, that surfing is the art of riding waves that God builds. God makes the waves, surfers just ride them. No surfer tries to create waves. If they're not there, you just don't surf that day. On the other hand, when surfers see a good wave, they make the most of it, even if that means surfing in the middle of the storm. Trinity, what would it look like for us to embrace a kind of gospel of Jesus Christ that doesn't just invite people to church, which we need to do. We need to invite them to Alpha. We need to invite them to read the Word of God with us, to worship, come to small groups, all these things, yes. But it also says, come and see, and we need to go and be the light of Christ in dark places. We must move, Trinity, from being a cruise ship to a hospital ship, not building better programs for ourselves to enjoy in a holy huddle singing kumbaya to one another, but we must be a rescue ship that goes out and begins to be a place where the hurting, the broken, the hungry, the lost can come and find healing and hope. We must move, amen, we must move from a fortress castle mentality to a mission outpost on the side of hell so that we can proclaim and rescue those who are lost. We must become a multi-generational, multicultural community that better reflects what Manchester has become. Manchester is not only 52% white. It has changed dramatically since our forebears started that church on Spruce Street. How do we live out a gospel for all nations and all people that reflects the heart of God? May we be a place of generosity with our resources, our gifts, practicing the lordship of Jesus Christ. May we fight for the flourishing of Manchester, not just to grow our own congregation. And that is part of our vision. And what we heard from a visiting pastor, may we be a church that champions the cause of the least, the last, and the lost, as Jesus himself did when he served those in need. And so as I reflected, how am I going to close out this message, this vision 2024? Can you believe it's 2024? Something came to me. It's a little bit crazy. I'm a little bit scared and intimidated to share it, but I really feel that God has put it on my heart, so I'm going to share it. One pursuit vision. What would it look like for us to pray a big prayer, a big, hairy, audacious goal, as some leaders have put it, to pray over the next 10 years to reach 1% of Manchester's 60,000 people over this next decade? That would mean not just transfer growth, but 600 new believers in this next decade. Pastor, that sounds crazy, but you know, I broke down the math. My math is not that good, so please send me an email if this is messed up, but I believe that would be 60 people per year. That would mean about 5 people per month. That would mean 1 to 2 people coming to know Christ through the ministry and life of this congregation and our people as we share the good news of Christ. Anyone resonate with a one pursuit vision? It is possible. May God give us 1% of Manchester and our communities over the next 10 years that we would see God grow his church in his way. And so as we end our time together, once again, let's read our vision together. Trinity Covenant Church will be a church for our city that pursues God and his passion for people through a gospel movement starting in Manchester, our communities, and then the world. Pursue God and pursue people. Let's pray together. Lord, you have kept this church going for over 130 years. You have kept our lives going. No matter how old that we are, we know every day is a grace from you. And I pray, Lord, at the start of this year, 2024, that we would lean deeply into this vision of pursuing you with all of our hearts and pursuing people because they are most precious to you with your passion and with your power. Lord, I pray that as we have been challenged in our lives to pursue you passionately, Lord, would you allow us the privilege of partnering with you to see 1% of Manchester over the next 10 years come to a saving, transforming, loving relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you so move our church and posture us with a great vision that only you could accomplish it as we step in by faith. And so, Lord, thank you for the ways in which you have pursued us over the many decades and years and months of our lives. May we pursue you in passionate worship. May we pursue others because you love them. And as we do so, may we do it by your power, your strength, as you renew us daily in your word and in prayer. We give you thanks, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.